Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, October 15th, 2017. Pastor Paul Talberg. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
Oh, there we are. That's the question that Jesus asked from Matthew 21. On the one hand, this is a very simple part of God's word, very easy to understand. On the other one, putting this into practice in our lives is really, really challenging. It says, "What do you think?" That's how it starts off. Who's he talking to? What do you think? Well, he's talking to believers, so he's talking to you and me, but he's also talking to a group of people who are challenging him, saying, "Who are you to tell me how to live? Who are you to say what I'm doing is wrong? Who are you, Jesus? By what authority are you saying all these things?" And they're right to his face, challenging him in front of everybody, ignoring what he's been preaching and teaching for 3 years. So he said, "It's like this, guys." And I want you to see something. These people, in not even a couple months, are going to be laughing because Jesus died. They're going to be making fun of him while blood is dripping from him after he's being beaten up and nailed to a cross. These are the ones. Jesus knows this. And he's trying to reach them. Do you know why that is? It's this thing called grace. This unbelievable love of God. He's trying to rescue the people that are going to tell lies about him. He's trying to rescue the people that he knows are going to put James to death by cutting off his head. He's trying to rescue them. He's not all about squishing. He's about restoring. And part of restoring is what we do every Sunday by God's grace. We listen to what God says, and part of it stings. It just doesn't feel, I don't like that part, Pastor. Just tell me the good stuff. But God says, we're all sick, and we have an incurable illness. It's like a wound that refuses to heal, and is festering. And we need to know that. So that when the good physician comes and says, "I have something that will cure you," we will say, "Okay, go for it." And trust him that it works. So what do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." He answered, "I will not." But later, he changed his mind, and he went. He came to the second and said the same thing. The second son answered, "I will go, sir." But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said to him, "The first." It's not a difficult test. All you have to do is be listening to his words. You can figure out which one is doing the father's will. Jesus said to them, "Amen, I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, ahead of you. For John," referring to John the baptizer, "for John came to you in the way of righteousness, but you did not believe him. However, the tax collectors and prostitutes did believe him. Even when you saw this, you did not change your mind and believe him." Which one did his father's will? Technically speaking, you know, the boy was a boy, and he was the son of his father, and so everything was all good. This is the kind of person that you would find, that first boy. He's unteachable. He thinks he's got it all covered. It would have been me when I was 14, 15 years old. I don't know how many of you were like that when you were 14, 15 years old, but that was me. I had it all covered. I knew everything about, and everything was all covered. But you know what? That arrogance, that pride continues in each of us. Each of us has to battle this terrible thing that says, well, you know, I'm okay. I'm one of God's kids. I was baptized once. So I'm okay. I'm good to go. And we forget that baptism is a start of faith that grows in God's word. And we don't really forget it. We just kind of put it aside because we kind of like the fact that I'm a good son. But God says, the one who does his Father's will is the one that you and I are to emulate, not the other guys. So what does he say? Which one did his Father's will? Well, not that one, but this other guy who thought to himself, you know, I said no, but what am I going to do now? I said no. I said I didn't want to do my Father's will. I said I don't want to go there. Lord, Father, I don't want to do what you have me to do. I don't want your Ten Commandments. I don't want the authority you put over me. I don't want to love my neighbor. I don't want to be kind to one another. I want to take care of me, and I've thrown it all away, Lord. I have really blown it. I have amassed such a debt. I can't pay it back. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? The second son knew his father. Second said, and he went to the vineyard, and he went to work. He didn't ask again. He just did what his father said. He was teachable. He was humble. And when he found out what it was that he was doing wrong, he stopped it, and he did what is right. It's a pretty simple parable. Kindergartners, first graders, they get this. It's what happens as you get older and you get used to making excuses to one another and then finally you try those excuses on God. And yeah, he was teachable, and he changed his mind, and he followed his father's will. That's what's going on. Which one did his father's will? The first one basically just made fun of his dad. Right to his face, he says all the right things. This is the kind of person that Jesus was trying to reach. They were in worship every week. They were leaders in the church. They made a big deal about knowing all the commandments by heart. At that time, 618. Whoa. They could tell you exactly how much distance you had to walk on a Sabbath day before you broke God's law, and so you didn't want to do that. And they would keep God's commandments in a way that would always cover them so they would always look good. Like, oh, I'm take care of my mom and dad, but you know what I'm going to do? I'll give that gift to the church instead of to mom and dad to take care of them and give them food. I'll just give that money to church, and that will take care of mom and dad. And God will understand. And they're using their knowledge about God as an excuse to sin. And the Apostle Paul says, don't do that. And Jesus says, don't do that. And God says, I am the Lord your God. Don't do that. Don't use my word as an excuse to sin. Instead, let it do its work. You and I, we blow it. We blow it a lot. And sometimes it's really hard to do the right thing all the time. And that's why the Lord says, let's not become discouraged doing the right thing, but rather let us encourage one another. And then he says this, encourage one another all the more as you see that great last day approaching. Jesus knows it's hard. Jesus was on the cross praying for forgiveness continually for the men who were putting him there. Jesus appeared to his disciples on Easter morning, and he said, I'm alive again, peace. And they were afraid, and they didn't believe him. So he hung around for a long time, making sure that they understood that he is the living God. So, what are you going to do this week? Uh-oh. The Lord says to test yourselves. I'm not going to test you. The Lord says, you test yourselves. And you do that by asking the why question. Why do you come to church? Why do you give? In a few seconds from now, the choir is going to sing a number. Why do they gather together and spend endless hours practicing just to sing one time for you in church? Why? When the answer to that question comes back consistently, it's because of what God has done for me. Then you are like the second son who said, you know, I am going to go work. I love my father. I'm going to do exactly what he wants me to do. And even though it's imperfect, God, for Jesus' sake, says, I forgive you. So in Jesus' name, that's how we live this week. Amen.